Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Please stop! Stop like
So the police department released the footage yesterday of the shooting of Adam Toledo, and my buddy Rob Hart, who's at WBBM in Chicago with us this afternoon to talk about the very latest. Rob, how are you?
Great, Mark. Happy Friday. Thank you for having me on your show. It's great to be heard in FM.
I know. This is your first visit. For those people who might be a little bit new to the show, Rob's been on plenty of times before. We go way back to our days in Milwaukee at WTMJ. He's at WBBM right now, an Odyssey station. So you're an Odyssey colleague, right, Rob?
I am standing up and saluting as we speak.
Well, look, this is another one of those serious things. And I talked about this earlier on my roundtable. My view of all this has changed quite a bit in the last 24 hours. But I want to get your news take on this and what's happening. When this happened a couple of weeks ago, was this a story up in Chicago on the 29th is when it happened? Or did it kind of get glossed over because nobody saw the video?
Well, it became a story. I mean, it was a story as it happened, because in this day and age, any time a Chicago police officer shoots at a person, injures them, or kills them, it becomes an automatic news story.
Right.
But then it kind of gained intensity as we learned that the person involved was 13 years old. And then, of course, there were some legal proceedings regarding whether or not the video could be released by COPA, the Civilian Office of Police Accountability. There were some discussions about whether or not they could do that because the person involved was a juvenile. But then the video was released yesterday, and the impression that I got from watching the video, and I watched it several times, that it is very difficult to watch, and these are images and sounds that will stay with me for a very long time, and that is, you have video of an event, and even then, it doesn't seem to tell 100% of the story.
No, it doesn't.
Because there is a great deal of debate about what happens in those 8 milliseconds between the time his hands go up and those shots are fired.
Okay, but before we get to those milliseconds, let's go before that and how this all started. The call comes in. It's late at night, early in the morning, I guess you could say. One of the questions I have is why 13 is out there with a 21-year-old, but that's what happened in this case, right?
Right. Adam Toledo, 13 years old. He had been reported missing from his home by his mother a couple of days before. He comes back, and in fact, when police show up to actually follow up on the initial missing persons report, he's back at home. Then a couple of days later, the 29th, he disappears once again. He is out with Ruben Roman, 21 years old, much older, and he is the person Roman is, at least Cook County prosecutors say, he was the person who was firing the gunshots in the area that initially attracted the attention of Chicago police. The shot spotter system heard the gunfire. People called 911. That is when the police arrived on the scene. And then there was a chase. Roman ran away. And at one point during the chase, he either gave the gun to Toledo or Toledo ended up getting the gun because they matched the shell casings with the gun that was retrieved from the scene. And that's where you find yourself in the alley.
So the video, you know, yesterday when I was watching this, I only saw the body cam video, and there's another view from way behind that fence. You can see the officer running and chasing Toledo. You can see his arm behind the fence. There are images that I've seen where he has the gun in his hand. So there is, as you indicated, there's a lot more to this story.
Correct. There's not just the body cam, but there's also various surveillance camera images from around the scene. And he had the gun. The question is, he had the gun and dropped it at one point. And, you know, the question is, did the officer see the gun get tossed away? I mean, if you look at the body, it just happens so fast, and you can't really tell who has what and when. And even after you slow it down frame by frame, that's the only time you can really see that Toledo did not have the gun when he put his hands up, but he may have had it just seconds before and threw it behind him.
Yeah, and that's what it looks like to me. Now, do you know, because the police union guy said he was a Latin king, do you know anything more about that? Even the kid, the young kid.
The kid, I don't know. And Roman may have had a gang affiliation. There was a very interesting op-ed piece in the Chicago Tribune written by a photojournalist who grew up in that neighborhood and was kind of talking about some of the details of Toledo's life that we may not have known about before. And one of them was that, you know, he did kind of fall in with the Latin Kings crowd, and that in that neighborhood, you know, that is a way in which someone could get family, respect, recognition, power. And it's a seductive lifestyle to a lot of people. And so he may not have been in the gang himself, but he could have been running with that crowd. There is a practice of older people befriending younger people and giving them fire, you know, dumping firearms on them because they're younger and will face fewer consequences.
Well, it's very typical, because in here, I've been a victim of this myself at my home in the city of St. Louis that I sold a few years ago, and I leased that home, and it was burglarized twice, both times by young people. And in the second instance where they caught the kids, it was an older kid, and then it was like a 14, 15-year-old, because they know they could... couple of reasons. They could fit through the windows, and they're only going to be charged as a juvie. So these guys know what they're doing in these instances.
And that's why everybody is saying it's a sad situation all the way through, is that, yes, you know, you could talk about what happened, you know, how the police officer approached the situation, how does this relate to officer training and things like that. But there are a lot of other circumstances that led this person into this alley at this particular time. And that is where the discussion about the civic failure comes in. A lot of things had to go wrong for this 13-year-old to be in this situation.
Rob Hart from WBBM in Chicago. Rob, what do you know about Eric Stillman, the officer who fired the fatal shot?
On the police force since 2015, according to a database that tracks misconduct complaints against officers, he had three over the course of his time on the department. They all involved searches. One was discharged, one was dismissed, and one is still open. And he was a military veteran before joining Chicago police.
What was it like in the city last night? I don't remember this morning hearing as much about violence as I maybe expected.
There were several protests. There was one that was organized by a church. That was through the streets of downtown Chicago. There was another one that was at the Chicago Police Union headquarters just west of downtown. Both of them dispersed rather peacefully. And a lot of the stories about the reaction in the Little Village neighborhood where this happened is there's anger, but there's also sadness and a great deal of grief. I mean, I think people who live around there just say this is a tragedy for his family and just a sad situation all the way through.
Yeah, it is. But I don't know. I think what people are going to grapple for, and this happens in the aftermath of all these things right now, is how do you fix some of this? How do you fix some of it? And that's, nobody has answers to that, but it's, and I don't want to kind of suck you into opinion because you're a news guy, but that's sort of where my head is, because, you know, I think there's a lot more to all these cases. They're all very nuanced, and you don't really hear that in some of the coverage. Rob Hart, WBBM in Chicago. We'll lighten things up just a little bit, because I often, with my other guests and with you, we talk baseball because you're a big White Sox guy. And you got Tony La Russa. How are the Sox doing right now? I didn't even know.
They are one game under 500, which I think puts them maybe a game or so out of first place in the American League Central. I mean, they had a nice little week this week. You know, Carlos Rodon throwing a no-hitter, almost a perfect game. on Wednesday night. And the funny thing about having La Russa back as the manager for the first time since 1986 is that every feat that takes place in a White Sox uniform, you know, there's some long ago parallel. I mean, Adam Eaton was the first White Sox player to hit a home run for Tony since Ron Kittle, the pride of Gary, Indiana, in June of 1986. This is his, and then the no-hitter on Wednesday was the first White Sox, or a no-hitter that Tony witnessed as a White Sox manager since Jack Morris no-hit the White Sox in April of 84. So it's just very interesting. All of these data points are separated by so much time.
Yeah, that is interesting. Have you had a chance? Do you know Tony at all? Have you ever met him or interviewed him?
I have not met him or interviewed him, and right now, of course, no one has really had a chance
Rob, here's my advice. If you do get a chance to know Tony, and I don't know him very well, but I got a chance over the years, tell him, by the way, I don't even know this, do you have cats in your house?
I don't, okay. But if it was up to my daughters, we'd have like 10.
Yeah, lie. Don't tell Tony that you have a cat, though. The mistake would be to say you have one cat. Say, Tony, we have 3-4 cats, and he'll love you. He won't be able to stop talking about cats. True story, Mike Grimm, who's up in Minneapolis, used to be here at KMOX, was telling me he was out to dinner with La Russa at one point. You know, it was some sort of event that they were all at the same table, and he mentioned something that he had just gotten a cat, and he knew that Tony was passionate about animals. And La Russa looked at him, and he was serious. He goes, one cat, what do you talk? You need more than one. They need friends. So that's why I'm telling you to embellish, Rob. All right?
Okay. All right. I will tell Tony I live in a house full of cats.
My best to your family. It's great to have you on 97.1 FM Talk. And we'll do it again, Rob Hart.
Looking forward to it.
Rob used to be my intern in Milwaukee. One of my interns.
Wow.
One of the interns. He was like my intern. He was there at WTMJ, and he always had this dream of being a news guy in Chicago because that's where he was from. He ended up doing some stuff at WGN, and now he's at WBBM in the Odyssey family, if you will.
Wow, that's great. Good for him.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. I've always joked with him because he's significantly younger. I would say maybe 16, 17 years younger than me, but his knowledge of pop culture, like 70s and 80s pop culture, has always been mind-blowing. He's really, really been good at that. I want to go back, though, to this shooting because some of the audio we pulled earlier, and typically on a Friday, I like to lighten things up, but this is a pretty big case, and people are going to be talking about it. So this is Adina Weiss-Ortiz, who is apparently an attorney that is representing the family. Here's what she said about the I'm going to get to the right page here because I backed up my hotkeys. Hold on here. I think I know what I'm doing. I'm still kind of getting used to the system. Here is the attorney, Adina.
All I know is that the officer is trained to not shoot an unarmed individual, not shoot an unarmed child.
So we're going to I'm going to break these down one by one. Okay, he was armed. He might not have been armed in that millisecond or those 0.8 of a second when the cops shoot him. But what's the officer supposed to do? He's running down the alley. There are shots that have been fired. The kid has a gun. He turns toward the officer. He drops the gun at the last minute, and then the officer shoots. The officer has to make a very, very quick decision, a snap decision. And I think even this week I wish everyone could go through the training that I went through at the FBI Citizens Academy. And what happened there, and they did this in Phoenix, I think, at a television station out there in the aftermath of Mike Brown, where they took someone who was very vocal about police shootings and was not acceptant of the fact that, you know, these cops have to make decisions to save their own lives, and they put them in a simulator and said, okay, you got to make a decision.
That's fantastic.
So that's what I did. We were given different circumstances and scenarios. Mm-hmm. You have to get in one circumstance. This was not mine. Somebody knocked on the door. And there was a mother, father who answered. And then there was a kid who came charging through the room. And you had to decide real quickly, is that kid a danger, a threat? You know, did they have a gun, a knife? So it puts you in that moment that these police officers have to go through on a regular basis. So here's a little bit more of the attorney.
Adam, during his last second of life, did not have a gun in his hand. The officer screamed at him, "Show me your hands." Adam complied, turned around. His hands were empty when he was shot in the chest at the hands of the officer.
I do not care one rip if he didn't have a gun at the time of the shooting. There was a clear threat. This is one. You know, I've looked at this very closely here in the last 24 hours, and my initial judgment on this, I think, was a little off because it doesn't look good. If you just see the one video, it certainly doesn't look good for the cops, but there's no doubt in my mind that this is a justified shooting, given the circumstance. There was a gun. He tossed it at the last minute. Is the cop supposed to kind of wait? Listen, hold on. I'm not going to shoot. Let's see if I get shot in the head first by the 13-year-old gangbanger. No, that's not going to happen. And nor should it happen. But now we're in a situation in this city and in Chicago and elsewhere, because it's happening everywhere, that's apparently the protocol, that cops aren't supposed to, you know, go after criminals with guns. I mean, this one is really clear because there is a weapon that's involved. This one I like, too. This was this guy on CNN. I played it during the roundtable. Bakhtari Sellers.
Only in America can you be in the middle of a trial in closing arguments for a cop killing a black man with a knee on his neck, only to be interrupted by a cop accidentally killing another black man, only to be interrupted by a 13-year-old boy in an alley turning around with no gun in his hand being shot.
I would say this. I got a little different take on that. Only in America will we take people and put them on pedestals who are criminals and not at all look at their criminal behavior. And we just say, well, he was shot and he's a good kid. Here's one from, let's see, I got all this audio here. Hang on a second, because there's so much here. Where's the reporter?
Oh, that is 4.
Oh, that's way up there. All right, so I heard this morning. This is Adina Weiss, I think, is the name. Let me play her first. Adina Weiss. Ortiz is the other attorney, and I'm sorry here, I'm kind of... Oh, here's Adriana Diaz. She's the reporter.
Toledo's family attorney says Adam was a good kid. He was a little timid. His family said he loved to play with Legos, and he dreamed of one day becoming a police officer.
Well, there's irony there, but okay. Legos? Did he really like to play with Legos, or did he like to play with guns with Latin King members in the middle of the night? I don't see why we can't have a conversation about that, because every story makes him out to be the victim and not a criminal. He was shot dead not because he's Latino or because he was wandering the streets or because he, he was shot because he was running from cops with a gun and he was a threat to these officers. This is pretty simple. It's not complicated.
No, it isn't. And the last interview you did, you know, he brought up something that I hadn't heard yet, which is that his parents or his mother had reported him missing because he'd been out running with the...
Yeah, Rob was saying that. That's kind of interesting. But,
yeah, and I hadn't heard that part. He had been missing and running around, I would assume. Well, I can't do that. But he had been gone for days. He was not playing Legos in his room, I don't
think. Is it not a legitimate... Well, Andrew, you tell me, because you might have a different perspective. Is it not a legitimate question to say... Hey, what the hell is the kid doing at 13 years old and he's out with gangbangers? That's a problem. And that's not a problem with white police officers in the city of Chicago or anywhere else. That's a problem culturally with his family. And his mom can come on television and talk about how she misses him and how he was a great kid. He wasn't a great kid in that moment. And it cost him his life. His life is lost because of his behavior, his reckless behavior. And it's sad because, and this was something else I got into, Lori Lightfoot, the mayor of Chicago, said this, and I want to come back to it because I think it's important and I think it's offensive, and it's even worse that people aren't bringing this up because they need to talk about some of this stuff. Lori Lightfoot basically says, we failed Adam, simply put, and we cannot afford to fail one more young person in our city. Well, you failed them because... not because of the cops. You're not keeping people safe. You fail them because whatever policy you support when it comes to education certainly isn't working. I've been a fan of school choice education reform for 25 years. And where is that in Chicago right now in helping kids have a future? The 13-year-old kid doesn't think he has a future. He thinks that his way out is to gangbang and to rob people and shoot. Who knows? But we have to provide these kids with a future. So where Lori Lightfoot in the city of Chicago is failing Adam Toledo is well before what happened the other night. It has nothing, zero to do with cops. Zero.
I think you're totally right about the school thing. I think the education is a big part of where this stuff starts. But I think the part where it does get sometimes complicated is that I think, personally, I can't imagine a reality where a 13-year-old is out gangbanging with a 21-year-old where he is in full and total control of his actions. He doesn't even know what he's doing. He's 13 years old. And so the real tragedy is
that these... He knows what he's doing. I disagree with that. I think
these kids get sucked into these orbits of these gang members that are around them. And there is evidence that gang members prey on children to get them involved in their activities because it's harder to prosecute
okay.
a kid.
Well, then he's a victim from the Latin Kings, not from the cops.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Okay.
I agree with you.
Let's not blame the cops then. Let's blame the people that are corrupting him. And let's also, you know, he went missing, so we don't know all the details of that. But where was the family's involvement in this?
I think that's exactly
keeping
true.
Him safe. Yeah.
No, I'm not trying to say that the cops are at fault for what happened. I just think it's a real tragedy, and I wince a bit when I think about if he was really in control of what happened. Now, again, like I said, not to put any of that on the cops because I don't think it does go on the cops. But I don't know, it's a really horrible situation, and I agree with you that whatever Lori is doing up in Chicago is not working. Because that's a huge problem that they have up there.
Well, by the way, she's under a lot of fire because at first she made some comments. This happened on March 29th, and mm-hmm. at first she made some comments about the cop, you know, seeing a gun or that he had a gun in descent. So now we're basically going to have a national debate on whether or not a 13-year-old gangbanger is a threat to a cop if he had a gun in his hand at the very second he was shot or in the 0.8 seconds right before he was shot. I mean, that seems pretty marginal to me. Here's Jen Psaki.
Those of us who did watch that video, it is certainly chilling and a reminder that across the country, there are far too many communities where there is violence that is impacting that too often in this country, law enforcement mm-hmm. uses unnecessary force, too often resulting in the death of Black and Brown Americans. The president, again, has repeatedly said that he believes we need police reform. That's what he says he's calling for Congress to send to his desk.
Well, that was a horrible moment for Jen Psaki. Let me just say that. And she sort of seemed to pivot because at first, listen to what she was saying at first.
Those of us who did watch that video, it is certainly chilling and a reminder that across the country, there are far too many communities where there is violence
now she pivots.
Impacting that too often in this country, law enforcement.
She couldn't keep it her point, right? She's like, oh, yeah, we got people out there that have crime-ridden neighborhoods that are suffering. And you know what I would like some focus on from Ben Crump or Lori Lightfoot or Lyda Crewson or Tashara Jones or Kim Gardner or anyone else? On the kids that are dying every damn
yes.
day in this city, not by police officers.
Yep.
There's never discussion. Well, Mark, this is what I'm told. I said this yesterday. We can have both discussions. Well, we're not. The only conversation we've had in this country since Mike Brown was shot dead, and that was a justifiable shoot, too, even though people want to believe the nonsense about hands up, don't shoot, and they don't want to see the facts of that. The only conversation we've had is about white cops shooting Black kids. And if there's anything that gets involved, look, we've had examples of Black cops shooting Black kids. Man, that doesn't matter. Oh, that doesn't fit our narrative. We're not going to talk about that. Right?
Yeah.
What happened with Dante Wright, I think, is completely different than any of these situations. I think they're all very different. I really do. Eric Gardner,
too.
Mike Brown, Breonna Taylor.
Well, they are different.
I do, too.
All of them are different.
Yes.
You know? And even Breonna Taylor's story is interesting to me because nobody really knew the facts of that, and they still don't. And there's even a story today about this. There's one of the police officers, Jonathan Mattingly, is writing a book called The Fight for Truth, the inside story behind the Breonna Taylor tragedy. I'd love to interview him. Hopefully I'll be able to because I followed this case very closely. I know a lot about what happened in Louisville, and people want to ignore the fact that there was a jailhouse conversation with Breonna Taylor and the ex-boyfriend, not the one that she was with that night, that police were monitoring. And there were indications that she was involved in this. Now, in the end, I don't think there was any involvement on the drug dealing side with Breonna Taylor. And it was a terrible tragedy. But there was a reason for police to be there that night. That was not something that was accidental. So there are a lot of things about that that are simply myth. The reason I bring it up today is because this guy writes a book. It's going to be distributed for Post Hill Press. Apparently, Simon & Schuster runs Post Hill Press. They didn't know that that book was going to get published. A big company. I guess it's just one of the underlying companies. They are described as a company that publishes a wide array of books, including Christian and conservative books. And Simon & Schuster released a statement that says, nope, we're not going to publish that book because they don't like the topic and they don't like the narrative. And it's not woke enough for them. So this is where we're heading every single day. 531-971 FM Talk.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, my pal Johnny Holzem from the Well Hungarians, very popular local band, and John performs so hard. He's such a hard worker. He's finally getting some gigs, and he's at Ballpark Village. You're going to join me in just a couple of minutes. We'll do number one songs and an audio cut of the day as well. So there is this comment that kind of came back in from Donald Trump from last year. Should I play the protester first, Andrew, or Donald Trump first? I'm going back and forth
let's play Trump better.
I think
Trump is the better.
Okay, so this was last summer, I believe, in the aftermath of George Floyd, right? He was talking about some of the things that happened at protests.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what he said.
And then they have cans of soup. Soup. And they throw the cans of soup. That's better than a brick because you can't throw a brick. It's too heavy. But a can of soup, you can really put some power into that, right?
Yes, sir.
And then when they get caught, they say, no, this is soup for my family. They're so innocent. This is soup for my family. It's incredible. And you have people coming over with bags of soup, big bags of soup, and they lay it on the ground, and the anarchists take it, and they start throwing it at our cops, at our police. And if it hits you, that's worse than a brick because it's got force.
It's awful. And I think he was mocked at the time for saying that. Mm-hmm. Now, last night on CNN, you might have seen this.
4 nights. I'm just standing here today with soup for my family. And we're just, you know, watching all of this unfold. It's very unfortunate.
You're not planning on using that, are you, throwing it at the police?
Like I said, it's for my family.
Now, was that guy, was he just mocking what Trump did? Or was it part of an effort to have a weapon there to throw at cops?
I think mostly he was, because he clearly rehearsed that, and he gave a big dramatic overpronounced wink at the camera when he said that.
Ew.
I think he was mocking Trump. I think he was making fun of what Trump said about soup.
But
and maybe he was going to whip it at cops.
Right, but I do think that
people
may have questioned the veracity of Donald Trump's reporting on the soup cans. I don't even remember that cut, but it makes sense that people would do that because they can offer the excuse, oh, I was just doing a little shopping, right?
Yeah, I mean, getting caught, you know, carrying soup isn't a crime, and even if you know what they're going to use it for, you can't really do that much about it.
Yeah. Right. Well, it's like, you know how this is always a little goofy to me, but I think at the amphitheater and some of these other places, they don't let you, maybe it's just with some artists too, where you can't have bottles of water,
mm-hmm.
Or at least with a cap on it,
yep.
They make you take the cap off or pour it into a cup because they don't want you throwing the bottles mm-hmm. of water on the stage either. Because people are dumb, and that's what they do. They throw things. So I guess I can understand that. All right, we'll take a quick break here. I was way late on that first segment. We'll come back. Johnny Holzman from the Well Hungarians. And number one songs this day in history. I got a couple of songs that I'll pick, too. Coming up, 97.1 FM Talk.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is the Well Hungarians, very well-known local band. My buddy Johnny Holzman is with me this afternoon. I've been dearly worried about you, and you know that, because I love you, brother, and you haven't been able to do your craft for a while, have you?
Well, Mark, first of all, brother, I love you. It's great to hear you, hear your voice again. And, you know, we've done a bit of the craft. We just had to keep it on the down low, you know, for the past, not quite year, but for the past 9 months. And it's just now that you're starting to hear more bands being advertised, more artists being advertised. I think the venues are getting more comfortable with the word getting out so that they're not, you know, berated and people get climbing all over them for having live music.
Right. Well, yeah. And, you know, you're a guy and your band, you've been successful for, I don't know how many, you know, at least 2 decades now, right? Didn't you just have the anniversary a couple years ago?
Yeah, we're on 28 years this year, actually.
Right. All right. Yeah. So I'm not good at math. But here's a guy who works every weekend as much as he can during the week, the wineries, bars, clubs, Lake of the Ozarks, you name it. And like many musicians, not to, you know, make you feel any worse, John, believe me, but that just got sucked away for a while last year. So first and foremost, I hope you're doing okay. But you're back in action tonight at Ballpark Village, right?
That's right. And tonight's it's a duo. Again, the dynamics have changed with live music, and every so often there'll be a full band show, but you're seeing a lot of St. Louis's best have been broken down into doing solo and duo shows at a lot of these venues. The logic is that since they can only have 25%, now 50% capacity, having a smaller act will draw probably a smaller amount of people,
right?
And since that way they can stay within the guidelines of the restrictions. So tonight it'll be me and Ethan Jones. Ethan Jones played in the band for quite a long time, and Ethan's been the lead guitarist for Dr. Zhivegas for quite a few years now. And Ethan and I have been doing quite a few duo things over the past few months.
I think I met Ethan when we did that gig out at the Sound Room that one time. Wasn't he out there?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
He absolutely was with me, yeah.
Well, so one thing that I've been encouraged by, John, is just in the last – and Johnny and I go to a lot of shows. We make each other concert dates sometimes. And it's annoying as hell because I'll go to a show with him, and since I'm on the radio, not that people really know me anyway, but they don't know what I look like, but people have seen his band so often, and all these people come up, mainly women. Oh, aren't you Johnny from the Well Hungarians? And his ego gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and I have to go talk amongst myself. But, you know – to my point on the acts that we see, because I sometimes have to drag him to see country shows that my wife won't go to or a classic rock show or something like that, I'm seeing some of that open up now. So are you feeling that some of the places that are booking even bands like yours are starting to feel the freedom to do that late summer into the fall?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm certainly, the more rural you get, the further from any major metropolitan, they're a little more open with the idea of having live music and having, you know, pretty much a capacity crowd. I've also noticed that the fairs and picnics and the festivals, we usually do a bunch of those every year. And they've been inquiring. They're like, okay, we're pretty sure we're going to do it. Can we go ahead and line something up? And so it's been very, some of it's tentative and, but we had to kind of go. It's a whole different monster now. So we had to kind of go on the premise of we think it's going to happen. and, you know, take the bird in the hand, you know. So
I kind of feel like what's happening right now is everyone's going to kind of see what happens in the next few weeks, because Michigan's still confusing and numbers are getting better here. But if we can get to the end of May and are in the shape that we're in, certainly here in Missouri, I think it's going to start opening up even more. Give me I want you to play along here with when I do this number one songs feature, John, but I want to get the details out about the gig tonight. So Ballpark Village, what time tonight?
It's 8 o'clock to 10:30. There's no cover charge. It's all ages as well. You don't need to make reservations. And, of course, they're serving food and just like it normally would be open. They're just being mindful of social distancing and the typical restrictions that are in place.
Let's do a fun feature that I do every week. You're going to play along here because it's music.
Whiplash propelled us into a time warp, Captain. Backward.
This is a Flashback Friday. Flashback. Number one songs of the 60s to today.
They don't make music like that anymore.
With Mark Rudin.
All right, let's see if we can. You know what? I forgot that it ended that abruptly.
Sorry.
Andrew warned me about that. Because, Johnny, you know what it used to say? With Mark Rudin on KMOX, and we had to cut that part out. And I was supposed to just go to this. We're going to make some people feel old like you, John Holzem. 1971.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, that was number one.
Was a good friend.
Three Dog Night, Joy to the World.
Woo!
That's a great song, though. You ever covered that one?
I did. Years back when the Well Hungarians first started, 93 to about 96, that earlier period, we certainly did that song.
Well, that was number one 50 years ago. Hall & Oates holding number one on the charts in 1981, and I was just starting radio, Sue Thomas, in 1981.
Wow.
And I was hitting the post on the Hall & Oates song, Kiss. This was a great song, pretty much standard 15-second intro to hit the post on as a disc jockey. 1991, let's see here. This one I don't recognize. Oh, it's Wilson Phillips.
Wilson Phillips.
I'm pretty sure the Well Hungarians have always covered Wilson Phillips, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah,
right?
we do their entire catalog. It's,
I had this cassette, I'll have you all know.
Oh, yeah, I think cassettes were still kind of...
just right at the curve,
a big
right?
A deal
right
at that point.
End.
Yeah, 2001. Janet Jackson,
oh,
All
I love
For
Janet.
You was number one. I don't really remember that song that much, though. Anybody remember that?
Yeah, it's All For You.
I don't really remember that one. In 2011, Katy Perry with Kanye West, E.T. Still kind of amazing to me. I'm watching as a guilty pleasure. My daughter likes to watch American Idol, and Katy Perry's the judge. But some of the songs are already 10 years old, which
is crazy.
Kind of hard to believe. And number one right now, this is new. I don't think I've heard this song before, and it's already surpassing last week's number one, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That Olivia Rodrigo song was number one literally for 3 months.
Ugh.
And now we've had a couple of streaks where it's just one week. This is the number one.
I'ma leave the door open.
Okay, it's not doing it for me.
Silk
Sonic. John Holzem is going to do this tonight. Right around 9:30. You might close the set with this.
I sound exactly like Bruno Mars, so yeah, I can nail it.
The number ones for, you know, modern day, they sort of throw me. But the other thing, and I think you're going to like this, because we're going to kind of combine this with audio cut of the day, because I've got too much going on here, but this is what we'll do.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, John, I know that you and I talk music. We see shows at the Pageant. We've never seen this band, but I have to feature them just a little bit because the new album by Greta Van Fleet came out today, and this song, Head Over, is really, really good. It kicks in here. Have you seen them before, Johnny?
I haven't. When they were in town, I had a show that night, but... Yeah, spectacular group and young guys. I hope they get the label support that they deserve so we can hear a lot more music
from
them.
Check this out here. Oh, I thought I hit the post there. I almost did. But the guy sounds, you know, a little like Robert Plant. Or maybe even Geddy Lee, because there's a little Russian influence here as well. And I think these guys are like from Michigan, if I remember correctly.
Sorrows of the air.
I hit the post there.
May I
You couldn't even do that at your age, Holzem, could you?
Oh, God, no.
Yeah.
You could squeeze anything you want on me. You wouldn't get that kind of note out of me.
So that is a great song. I pulled the second part of it, too. It listen to those screams. But we'll go out with this, because this guy, we've never seen him together, but we absolutely should have. Eric Church, and his new album is out today too, and I love this cut. It's the last cut, called Love Shine Down. Johnny Holzem, have fun tonight. We're going to see you soon. How's that sound?
Mark, very grateful, man. Love hearing your voice, and I'll talk with you soon. I appreciate it.
We'll go out with Eric Church.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.